I am really blessed to be thinking about this today, and I want to talk about breathe. Can you breathe? Did you ever think about it? You might have done a thing, something like this in church at one time, or even when you're in grade school, the teacher or the pastor say, you know, we want to show you about how important the Holy Spirit is. Hold your breath and see how long you can hold your breath. Well, when you hold your breath, everything stops, doesn't it? So breathe is inhaling and exhaling. And that's what I want to talk about, because breath refers to the full cycle of breathing. So today, I want to take some time to breathe. And I just want to ask everyone to take a nice, deep breath. Breath that's fresh and crisp in the air around you. It's getting a little cooler outside today, Friday, when I'm recording this. So breathe out. Breath out the stale, stagnant air that's within you. So if you take a moment and you take a few breaths, what happens? Well, you feel stress and anxiety melt away. You feel as though your worries recede and that the Holy Spirit sense of peace fills you up. So now, this is the time for worship. Ready? Well, stress, as you all probably know and we all experience at one time or another, remains one of the greatest challenges of our mental and physical and spiritual health. Human beings, and anybody within the sound of my voice, that's what we are, is human beings. And we undergo serious amounts of stress and anxiety, which affects our health in a variety of ways. We can suffer from insomnia. We can feel easily fatigued and overwhelmed by life. We can become distracted and forgetful. And we can experience panic attacks and restlessness and depression, shortness of breath. And our immune system can weaken, and our hair and our skin suffer. We can even become more predisposed to diseases such as heart disease and cancer and arthritis and the autoimmune disorders and deficiencies, or even dementia, among many others. Think about it. Stress, especially when chronic, is not our friend. I think that's the understatement of the year. So what do you do, preacher? Well, many practitioners will tell you to start breathing. Now, that's a no-brainer, right? Of course, we want to breathe. We stop breathing and we die. But what your doctor or psychiatrist or neuropath doctor or mindful practitioners trying to tell you is that the quality of our breath matters, and it matters a lot. Studies show that paying attention to the way we breathe can reduce our stress and anxiety and increase our functionality and creativity. It can even heal our body and our mind and our spirit. And we feel more alive, more alert, and calm, no matter what we have to face. So by making space to practice deep and rhythmic breathing, we allow our bodies and nervous systems to decompress, to get out of high alert mode and return to a state of calm and rest. So the result is this: our entire holistic health changes. Our brains, which are literally rewired, and we approach life in a totally and entirely different and more joyful way. Now, while the shallow breath harms, deep breathing heals. And our body and our mind and our spirit in connection feels refreshed, revitalized, and renewed. But I always like the buts and the ifs. Despite the culture popularity of deep breathing methods, this is not a new discovery. No, back in the 1920s, psychiatrist Joanna Henrich Schultz practiced autogenic training, a method for his patients in order to help them learn to relax through slow and deep breathing. But long before that, the church, can you imagine, the church understood the importance of breath for both Jews and Christians. God's breath, or What we call the Holy Spirit's breath is what creates living and breathing humans from simple mud pies. You remember God made a mud pie back in the garden, and we have now humans. And he also then gave us a mind. He gave us life and a spirit and a thought. So if you look at Genesis 2, God creates humankind from mud and water, and then he does something wonderful. He breathes his Holy Spirit into that creation. And what was the result? Well, you and I are here, human beings. We were born. From there, the scripture is filled with stories about the holy breath of God. From Ezekiel's bones, to healings, to the wind, to the weather, to the day of Pentecost, and even before that day, Jesus breathes upon his disciples and commissioning them to go and make disciples all over the world. He gives them a mission, and he breathes upon them. So the Hebrew word for God's breath is ruach. I've learned to pronounce that word because studying about the Holy Spirit for a long time, that word ruach kind of was an easy word to pronounce and remember, but it's a word that simply means breathe, wind, or even spirit. And the Greek equivalent is pneuma, which we get like pneumatic tires or different things like that. It's a word that our spirit can be found in English as respiration or inspiration. And, you know, we might say that God's life-giving created breath is what inspires us to be creative. The creative energy people, if you would. We are with potential for more often than we realize. So without God's breath, we're just lumps of clay, so to speak. It's like a statue. You know, you see a statue, and it's a statue. It don't breathe, it don't talk, it don't nothing. And without God's breath, that's what we are. But, I love the buts, with God's breath, we become infused with life and innovation. And it's no wonder that on the day of Pentecost, we were infused with the Holy Spirit and power, and suddenly those disciples touched by God's breath could do things they ordinarily could not do. And they felt a zeal and empowerment for the mission that they never had before experienced. So in that moment, they transfigured from disciples to apostles, meaning disciples following Christ to apostles going out and teaching about Christ, because they experienced the breathing in of the Holy Spirit's presence and energy and power, and become what is known as baptism of fire. And it enabled earlier evangelists for Jesus to persevere beyond any human capacity. It was as though they were zapped with the voltage of 10,000 strands of lightning. Their brains and their hearts were rewired, and their souls were ready for the mission. And then by the time of the 3rd century, paying attention to breathing in God's Holy Spirit presence became a primary method of prayer and healing. The breath prayer was born. You ever hear of the breath prayer? Well, breath prayers were not just any kind of meditations. It was derived from Eastern religions and many other practices. And this was uniquely a Christian practice that was developed as an awareness of the healing power of the Holy Spirit and the life-giving source of God's breath. And what you do, one would sit in a posture of prayer, and upon praying to Jesus, one would become aware and intentional about breathing in the positive, the healing energy of the Holy Spirit, and then during the latter part of the prayer, breathing out or exhaling all that was burdensome, negative, imprisoning, or even impending of one's own spirit. So by engaging in this kind of prayer, one would develop a sense of calm and resilience and awareness of God's Holy Spirit present in his or her life. And for the early Christians, making space to breathe was really the most effective manner of prayer. The breath prayer for Christians for centuries had been akin to putting on the armor of God, as the Apostle Paul talked in Ephesians 6. Immersing oneself in the breath of God during prayer, it would essentially protect and guard one against the forces of evil that would threaten to invoke, harm, give us stress, anxiety, and even pain. But before that, we see Jesus teaching this very concept to his rather anxious disciples, who were having a difficult time accepting who he was and what he was telling them, and that it was true or not, and was he truly the Messiah. So he tells them that the Spirit gives them life, that his words are spirit and life. His very breath, his very words, which comes from God and consists of life-giving spirit. So when Jesus' disciples received his word and his breath as he blew upon him, if you would, they received true life. Life that would fill them with knowledge and purpose and faith and, more importantly, zeal. And this is what it meant to live life in the Spirit. We spent a long time in Holy Spirit school to understand that, but that's what we do. We want to live life in the Spirit. So today in our culture, boy, do we have a culture. I don't know about it sometimes, but our culture is ours. It's an American culture. It's what we have. We suffer often from symptoms of shallow breathing. Shallow breathing makes for a shallow kind of life. Without the depth and the breath of the gospel within our lives and our lungs, we move through life simply by going through the motions. We lack meaning, we lack purpose, we lack faith, and we lack passion. Our culture, though, is a high anxiety culture. Think about that. What kind of stress and pressure do you experience every day? Tension is high, tempers are high, disillusionments are high, depression is high. So, we as human beings are in a dire need of some God-given life. Can you say amen? And the only way that we can wade through our current toxic environment is to put on Jesus. Put on Jesus' breathing apparatus. Like the guys that go deep sea diving, you know, they put on the breathing apparatus. And we can do the same by putting on our Jesus' breathing apparatus. The kind like allowing ourselves to be infused with holy oxygen, strength for the journey, the armor of God, the breath for the body. For God is your strength, God is your breath. Now, Jesus has always given us invitations, and you know, he don't want to be anywhere that he's not invited or wanted. So I am extending an invitation to you today through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, and maybe for all of this week. In fact, going forward for the rest of your life is to take some time each day to engage in deep breathing with God. Whoa. Breath. In the healthy, healing breath of the Holy Spirit, breathe out that toxic, pressure-filled hatred beneath that torment of your body and mind and spirit. It happens to all of us. It's just where we are. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But we got to deal with this worldly stuff. So as you breathe deeply of God's presence in your life and pray that God instill in you that holy gift of salvation, God's gift of life, health, and inspiration. Can you imagine? Oh, wow. Now, guarantees are only worth, you know, what they're written on. So I want to give you a guarantee, and the reason I can give you the guarantee is because I experienced this wonderful relationship with Christ and through the Holy Spirit. So I can guarantee you within a week, if you will feel the difference in your mind, your body, and your spirit, if within a month or more or even a year, you'll wonder where your old self had gone. Oh, breathe the hope, the joy, the peace, and the love. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And my prayer is, may they reside in you. Come, precious Holy Spirit. I find it interesting that all the challenges that we have in our conference in the Florida United Methodist Church, you know what the theme for annual conference was? Come, Holy Spirit, come. So my prayer is that you be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit will heal you and challenge you, and may you be inspired to be everything God imagined you to be in this world, and more importantly, hallelujah, as we talked about eternal life, this world and the next, and all of God's children said, amen. You know that word amen simply means let it be so. Have a wonderful day.